hungry for something more than this world has to offer? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
There comes a time sometimes when the things of this world are not enough. There comes a time sometimes when we're fed up with the things of this world. We're sick and tired and worn and weary, and we need more than bread and fish. The thing that you hunger for is a right relationship with God through Christ. Jesus Christ is God's answer for your deepest hunger.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless teaching of pastor and author Adrian Rogers. If we're honest, we could admit that there's a deep longing within that we can't fill with the things of this world. Nothing seems to satisfy. John 6 tells the miraculous story of when Jesus used a little boy's lunch to feed more than 5,000 people. We must look beyond the miracle and into its message. Jesus is God's answer to man's desire. This is really good news. And if you have your Bible, turn now to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
Now, I believe in miracles, but I trust in Jesus. That's very, very important. It's important to believe in miracles, because if you believe the Bible, you know that God is a miracle-working God, a supernatural God, and God is not limited in any degree, any respect. He is totally sovereign. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Believe in miracles, but don't put your faith in miracles. We're studying the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Many of us remember that story from reading it when we were children. But Jesus took a little lad's lunch, 5 loaves and a few fish, and fed more than 5,000 people. There were 5,000 men then, besides the men, the women and the children, and he fed them all with a little lad's lunch. You remember the story. Jesus had performed miracles. News got out that Jesus was a wonder worker, a miracle worker, and so the crowds began to throng him and to follow him because he was healing the sick. And they outran him, and when he got to this particular place, there they were, thousands, thousands, thousands of them. And they were hot, they were tired, they were hungry, there was not a McDonald's in sight, and Jesus performed a miracle with a little lad's lunch. We're going to see more about that in just a moment. But as I was thinking about that and getting ready to bring this message to you, I thought of an episode that happened to me one time when I was with a group of friends traveling in the Holy Land. And we were going to come to this spot that day where Jesus had fed these 5,000 plus. And I thought it might be good to remind them of that. So I asked my guide and I said, "Would you get me, please, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread?" What I thought we would do is just go up there on the mountainside and sit down, and I would break the loaves and the fish and let everyone have a taste just to remind them of the miracle that Jesus did. And so I had my lunch there already, but things didn't work out quite like I thought. The night before that, we had had an Arabic meal, a wonderful meal, but all kinds of exotic and strange foods that these Americans had not been used to. We arose early in the morning, and already the sun was blazing hot. We started out across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, reenacting that trip across the Sea of Galilee, and it was choppy. And the sun was like wearing a lead coat. It was so hot. I watched our people. They were beginning to sag and droop. But I thought, oh, when I feed them this bread and these fish, they'll perk up. And at the right moment, I unwrapped the loaves and the fishes. One man that was in that crowd came up and looked down at those fish and that bread, and a fly went across one of the fish. And that man said to me something I'll never forget. He said, "If everyone feels like I do, you could feed 5,000 with that." There comes a time sometimes when the things of this world are not enough. There comes a time sometimes when we're fed up with the things of this world. We're sick and tired and worn and weary, and we need more than bread and fish. The title of the message, Jesus is God's answer to man's desires. Pascal, who was a physicist and a philosopher, said this, There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man and woman that only God can fill through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is in your heart and in every heart, if you know not the Lord Jesus, a hidden hunger. The thing that you hunger for is a right relationship with God through Christ. And I pray God, and dear God, help me today that I might be able to present to you that Jesus Christ is God's answer for your deepest, deepest hunger. Now let's look at the scripture. And take your Bibles and begin in John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, and underscore this, because they saw his miracles. Now, why are they following him? Well, they're following him because of miracles. And that's such a shame if people do that today, if they follow Jesus because of miracles. They followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, that is to test Philip. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. That is, eat till you're satisfied. And when they were filled, underscore that, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. When those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, there are 3 things I want you to see with me today. 2 of them are relatively minor for my purpose today, and 1 of them is eminently major. There is no problem too big for Jesus to solve. Now, listen to me. There is no problem too big for Jesus to solve. There was a problem that day. They did not have food. Jesus comes to Philip, and he says, Philip, where are we going to get food that these may eat? And Philip said, why? A year's labor, the wages of a working man for a year, wouldn't be enough to give every one of them a mouthful. Now, why did Jesus ask Philip? Did Jesus ask Philip, what are we going to do, because Jesus was seeking advice? No, John says that Jesus knew what he was going to do. I had lunch one day with that grand Christian woman who's now in heaven. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. One thing she said I'll never forget. She said, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. Don't you like that? No panic in heaven, only plans. Jesus knew what he was going to do. The Holy Trinity never meets in emergency session. Amen. He knew what he was going to do. He wasn't asking for advice, nor was he trying to learn something about Philip. He already knew all about Philip. The Bible says he knew man, and he needed not that any should testify what was in man. He wasn't trying to learn anything about Philip when he asked this question. He wanted Philip to learn something about Philip. He wanted Philip to have an insight into himself, and so Philip gives this answer. Philip had it calculated. He had it figured out. And what did Philip say? He said, well, 200 denarii or 200 days labor would not be enough to feed all of these people. Now, that was a good answer, but it was a bad answer. It was a good answer in that it was accurate, but it was a bad answer in that he left Jesus Christ out. Now, the kind of an answer that he gave was the answer that any good red-blooded atheist could give. He just simply left God out of his calculations. I wonder if you're guilty of doing that, of just saying, well, I've got a problem here, and you're trying to solve the problem, but you leave the Lord Jesus out. A little boy was trying to roll over a rock, and his father was bemused as he watched the little fellow. And the little boy was grunting and straining and heaving and sighing, but he couldn't turn the big stone over. His dad, with a whimsical smile on his face, said, "Son, are you using all of your strength?" He said, "Yes, Daddy, I'm using all my strength." "No, you're not, because you have not asked me to help you. You see, I am your daddy, and my strength is your strength." And sometimes we have problems that we're wrestling with, and we say, "I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. I've run out of my strength." Then run into His. He is there. The Lord Jesus was trying to get Philip to say, "This is a problem. It may be too big for you, but it's not too big for me." Some of you are listening to me today, and you have serious problems. Take that problem and double it. Now double it again. Now I want to ask you a question. Is it big to God? Of course not. He is the Lord. He says, "I am the Lord thy God. Is there anything too hard for me?" So put this in your heart and mind and get it down big, plain, and straight. There is no problem too big for Jesus to solve. Do you believe that? I hope you do. There is no problem too big for Jesus to solve. Now here's the second thing I want you to see. There is no person too small for Jesus to use. Now, when Jesus solves problems, He uses people. And here He used a little lad. And the Bible says that they surfaced this little lad, and somebody had found him, evidently Andrew, out just talking with the crowd, one of his disciples, verse 8, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" A little lad and a little lunch. Meager in quantity, meager in quality, but the Lord Jesus used it. What was the recipe for this miracle? Well, first of all, it was transferred to Jesus. He didn't say, "Now, Lord Jesus, you can have one of these fish, and I'll keep the other. You can have 3 of these biscuits, and I'll keep 2. He gave it all to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you a very sincere question, but a very simple question. Do you want to be used of God? You say, "Well, yes." Second question, have you given to Him everything? You say, "Now, wait a minute." Wait a minute. He doesn't expect me to give Him everything. I beg to differ. He expects you to give Him everything, totally, 100%. You say, "But what about me?" Friend, if you think about you, you'll give it all to Him. "He who will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it." Do you think this little lad went away hungry? He had more to eat than if he had not given Jesus anything. When he gave it all to the Lord Jesus, then Jesus gave back to him, "You'll not outgive God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom." It was transferred to Christ. It was taken by Christ. When you give Him something, He'll receive it. If it's even a cup of cold water, He'll receive it. He doesn't ask of you what you don't have. He asks of you what you do have. What was said about Mary when she gave that sweet perfume to the Lord Jesus? She hath done what she could. God is not asking of you what you cannot do. He's asking of you what you can do. He's not asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to give what you do have. And He took it. It was transferred to Christ. It was taken by Christ. It was touched by Christ. And then it was transformed by Christ. And He fed multitudes. Don't you insult God by saying God cannot use you. God specializes in taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things with ordinary people. You see your calling, brethren. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God enjoys taking ordinary people, little boys, and doing great things with them. You think, again, about Mary, who brought that sweet perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus and bathed His feet with her tears. Jesus said of that woman who did what she could, Wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will be told of her around the world. You see, the world is still filled with a perfume of a little woman who bathed the feet of Jesus. She did what she could. I think of a widow who came to church when the offering was received, and she put in the widow's mites. It was all of her living. It was all that she had. She gave it all, totally to Jesus Christ, just like Mary broke the alabaster box. She didn't dip some out. She broke it. She gave it all. This widow gave it all. Jesus, who was watching what she put in the offering, as he always watches what each of us puts in the offering, Jesus later said, "This little widow gave more than they all." Now, there were many rich men there that day, but Jesus didn't say she gave more than any of them. Jesus said she gave more than all of them. You may be too big for God to use, but you'll never be too small for God to use. You'll never be too small for God to use. God uses small people, small things. There's no problem too big for Jesus to solve. There's no person too small for Jesus to use. Isn't that wonderful? He can take care of our problems and he can use us. What a blessing that is. I wish I had more time to talk about that, but I want to get to the third and the main thing. There is no problem too big for Jesus to solve. There's no person too small for Jesus to use. And there is no hunger too deep for Jesus to satisfy. There is no hunger too deep for Jesus to satisfy. Now, he did a miracle there that day, but that miracle was significant not because he fed 5,000, but because he taught that he could meet the deeper spiritual hungers of our hearts and of our minds. And now this is where we're going to really zero in. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, then he began to give the message in the miracle. He began then to give the significance of the sign, to go beyond the miracle and on to himself. So look, if you will, in verse 25. Now remember, everybody has eaten. Everybody's had enough. There are 12 baskets full left over. Each disciple has a basket of bread for himself. And now look, if you will, in verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles," that is, not because you saw the import of the miracles, "but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, the only reason you want me is because I fed you. The only reason that you seek me is because of the bread and the fish. And then Jesus gives them a command as he gives us a command, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." This is what it's all about, folks, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is spiritual bread. We need to see beyond the meat that perishes. Now, sometimes when we build a building like this, you know what someone will say? They've said it to me. If you've not heard it, they'll say it to you. Why did those folks down there, that church, build that big building? Why didn't they take that money and feed the poor? I say to the banker, "Why don't you sell that bank and feed the poor?" Why to the man of the stadium, "Why don't you sell that football stadium and feed the poor?" I say to the man of the gas station, "Why don't you sell that gas station and feed the poor?" Well, he says, people need money and people need recreation and people need gasoline. I'll tell you something else. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. You see, what is the social gospel? The social gospel has the idea that men, all they need is the food that perishes. Now, if I had $5 billion and took a dollar and bought everybody on earth a snack, in several hours, they'd all be hungry again. The Lord says, this perishes. There's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. We ought to do that. There's nothing wrong with helping the helpless. We ought to do that. But you know what is wrong with the social gospel rather than the saving gospel? The social gospel puts an emphasis upon that which is temporary. The true gospel puts an emphasis upon that which is eternal. The social gospel is only interested in making the world a better place to go to hell from. What we've got to do is to get folks saved. They need more than soup and soap. They need salvation. They need Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to these people, I am spiritual bread. Don't just zero in here on the loaves and the fishes. You seek me just because I fed you. Labor for the meat that will not perish. Folks, you have an ever-living, never-dying soul. You better feed your soul. Jesus is spiritual bread. He is what your soul hungers for. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only is Jesus spiritual bread, but Jesus is supernatural bread. Begin now in verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee, what thou dost work? They said, give us a sign that we can see. Work a miracle. Do a little celestial magic. Now, Jesus did do miracles to teach, but he never did miracles as publicity stunts. He never did miracles in order to attract followers per se. As a matter of fact, these same people that followed him when he fed 5,000 left him when he began to talk to them about eternal verities and realities, as we're going to see in just a moment. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Miracles are a poor form of evangelism. This same crowd that had just seen a miracle is now asking for another miracle because they could not be satisfied with miracles. The only thing that would really satisfy them would be a right relationship with God through Christ. And I hope you can understand that and see this. Jesus is spiritual bread, and Jesus is supernatural bread. Continue to read now after verse 30. Verse 31. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That is, Moses didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Jesus is saying, manna was not the true bread. Manna was only an illustration of the true bread. I am the true bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Here's the message in the miracle. Here's why he performed the miracle. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst.
And coming up on Monday, we'll hear part two of this important message. But today, if you have questions about who Jesus is, about what he means to you, how to place your faith fully in what he accomplished, you can go to our Find God's Love page at lwf.org/radio. You'll discover resources and materials there that will answer questions you may have about your faith. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Jesus is God's Answer to Man's Desire. This message is also part of the insightful series, Parade of Miracles. For that complete 7-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You may not know you can also purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in our online store. For more on that, go to lwf.org/radio. We're so glad you joined us for today's study in God's Word. If you'd like to start receiving daily devotions and links to the program, sign up for our daily Heartbeat emails. You can do that right there at the website, again, lwf.org/radio. And join us Monday for the insightful conclusion of Jesus is God's Answer to Man's Desire, right here on Love Worth Finding. We were so excited to learn how one listener is using our resources. He wrote and said, I've received some books from Love Worth Finding, and I've given them to teenagers I disciple. I've seen a difference and heard from their parents that these materials have helped them in their quiet time. I'm letting the Holy Spirit do His work. You know, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Christ, to help believers grow deeper in their faith. And we do this by airing these messages by Pastor Rogers and creating new tools and resources inspired by his timeless teaching. As we approach the end of this year, we want to thank you for your gift to the ministry by sending a copy of Wonder and Worship. The King of Kings is in our midst, and this new resource will help your heart take a posture of worship, to sing with more feeling, engage mentally, and focus on our honored guest. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.